The scripture reading for the day is taken from that little book way in the back of the New Testament, the letter of Jude, one chapter in that letter, and we're going to read the 24th and the 25th verses. Jude 1, 24 and 25, another one of the benedictions that we find in the New Testament. And it goes like this: to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and evermore. Amen. You can say amen too. I have been preaching a series on benedictions found in the Bible, and I have reminded you each time that a benediction is also a kind of a blessing that is given, or at least offered, to people, to individuals, and to groups of people. Today's benediction comes from the letter of Jude, which consists, as I said, of one brief chapter. We hear people talk in our day about the need for a safety net, especially those who are without hospital insurance. Our politicians tell us that we need to have some kind of safety net so that we can catch them, the ones that are in need and don't have anyone else to help them. And sometimes we feel like the politicians almost want us to feel guilty because we are able to take care of ourselves. We do need to be careful. We need to be aware that there are those who need help. But there's no doubt about it. We're told in the Bible that the people of faith have a responsibility to help those who are poor and needy. Isaiah talks about the kind of fast that the Lord really desires. And, you know, a fast is something when we abstain from food and or other things in order for a spiritual purpose. He says the kind of fast that God really honors is those that when we are aware of those who are poor and who are needy and who need our help, and we reach out to them and help them. It's our responsibility to do that. Rather than take care of people, the best approach is, I believe, to provide opportunities to people so that they can help themselves. We've heard it said by some organizations that they are about giving people a hand up and not a hand out. And I believe that is the best way to handle it, the best approach that we can have. Well, in the scripture I just read to you, we learn about a different kind of safety net. Jude tells us that there is someone who can keep us from falling. First of all, let's think about what Jude means by falling. Next, let's look at who he is talking about when he says he is able to keep us. Who is this he? And then let us think about what it means to determine how that is done. To start with, ask the question, how many of you have had a serious fall? Sometime or another, you've fallen down and hurt yourself. I'm sure that all of us have some kind of experience like that. I told you last week that I had a painting business for several years, and one day my crew and I were painting this large Victorian-style house, and I was up on the second level of that house painting, and I needed to get up to the next level. And instead of going all the way down to the bottom and then coming up the ladder, I decided I would just take my ladder and prop it up against the next level, and I started up on it. And the minute I got up on it a little ways, it turned on me and threw me off. And I fell 35 feet below to the ground. I hit a wooden cellar door, and it bounced me into a patch of rose bushes. And when I got to the hospital, I found out I had a broken foot in three places, four fractured ribs, and I also chipped a piece out of my spine. Now, I tell you that story because it's really something that a lot of people have. They have these kind of falls. The amazing part about it is that the day before, that cellar door was open. And if I had fallen that day, I would have fallen on concrete steps. And I might not be here talking to you today if that had happened. So God is faithful, and He does watch over us. And He does take care of us, even sometimes when we are foolish. That doesn't mean He relieves us of the consequences of all of our actions, of the things that we do. But He does watch over us, and He does take care of us. He does preserve our lives. I've said all that just to make the point that falling in any sense is not the least bit enjoyable. However, as harmful as a physical fall may be, I think that that Jude was talking about something altogether different, a different kind of fall. When Adam and Eve sinned, our first parents, when they sinned against God, what they did has been called the fall. In other words, our first parents fell. They fell away from God. They fell away from relationship with Him. They fell away from fellowship with Him. They fell away from being in that place that God had designed for them, that paradise that they lived in. They fell away. So when we talk about falling, what are we really talking about? We're talking about the consequences that we experience when we sin against God. Those who are not Christians live in a fallen state. They are not eligible for many of the blessings that come to those who are in a right relationship with the Lord. Paul says that the natural man receives not the things of the Lord. They're not able to. They're not able to receive those things, those special blessings that we receive because we have a relationship with the Lord. Some people might say, well, that's just not fair. That's not fair that some people get them and some people don't. But it wouldn't be fair if only a select group could avail themselves of those opportunities. But the truth of the matter is, they are open to everyone. And anyone who wants to can share those blessings. They can be saved. They can be enter into that relationship with God through Jesus Christ. For whosoever will, the Bible says, may come. Whosoever will may come. That doesn't mean that certain people can come and certain people can't come. Anyone can come, but we have to come God's way, don't we? If only a select group could avail themselves of the opportunity to be saved, then that might be preference. That might be favor. We might be saying, well, God honors some and doesn't honor others. But the invitation is open to all. But there is a choice involved. We have to choose that, don't we? God offers it, and we have to be the ones to receive it. We have to reach out. As He reaches out to us, we reach out to Him and receive whatever it is that the Lord wants us to have. I've been describing the state of those who are not Christians. But what about those who are Christians? We say that those who are not Christians are living in a fallen state, but what about Christians? Is it possible for us to fall? Is it possible for us somehow to take a fall someday? Perhaps we've all known people who at one time were strong followers of Jesus Christ. But when something bad happened, they took a fall. It could be a moral failure. We've heard of ministers who fall into temptation in that way. It could be when a loved one gets seriously ill and dies. Sometimes people get bitter about that. They think, well, if God's not going to help us in this situation, He's not going to help us at all, probably, so we don't want to have anything to do with Him. And they take a fall. It could be for some other reason as well, a loss of finances or resources. Or it could be the result of what some feel is unanswered prayer or some other serious disappointment in our relationship with the Lord. There are times when things happen and people get mad at the Lord. They get angry with Him. There are times when people get upset with the Lord. There are times when people get disappointed in that relationship with Him. The devil is always seeking ways to trip us up. In the book of Proverbs, it talks about snares that are set for animals. And sometimes the devil sets snares for us as well, I believe. He sets those traps. And sometimes people don't even realize that they're walking into a trap. And it's always a surprise to them when they realize after they've gotten into it, that it was something that the devil had set them up for. And sometimes it's too late to do anything about it. Yes, it is possible for Christians to fall, which means we're not perfect. We are still susceptible to sin. It's interesting to me that the same people who talk about eternal security are also talk about the importance of free will. You know, we have free will. We can choose. We can choose whichever way we want to go. If we want to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we're free to do that. If we want to reject Him, we are free to do that. We have that freedom to do either one or the other. If we truly have the freedom to choose, then it is possible that we could walk away from the Lord and never return to Him again. That is what is called apostasy in the Bible, and it's a very serious condition. Jude's letter was written to an unknown group of Christians as a warning against apostasy and going away from the Lord and going so far away from the Lord that it's difficult and maybe even impossible sometimes to get back. He also wrote against false teachers, those who came into the fellowship of the church and began to spread false doctrine. He said that there has to be an opportunity for us to stand against those things, that we have to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. We have to contend for that as Christian. You know, there are people today who want to change things, who think, well, we live in a culture that is constantly changing. And in order to be able to minister to those people, we have to change also. And some changes are all right, but there are some changes that we must never allow or we must never follow. Just like there are people in our time who have apparently forgotten about or who revise history as it relates to our country. You know, their history is being rewritten in some of our schools and some of our colleges. And things that we once knew were true, and once things that we once celebrated about our country are no longer pertinent. There is a set body of beliefs, my friend, a set body of beliefs that have come down to us through the centuries. And we must resist every effort as Christians to change those beliefs, no matter what the motivation might be. Some people think we need to change all of our beliefs around. We need to be able to minister to our culture. We need to be able to open up the doors so that anybody who wants to come can come in any way they want to, and we should make it as easy as possible. We must resist, and we must resist that temptation to compromise our beliefs. We have nothing to stand on if we do compromise. Nothing. We have nothing to stand on if we allow our beliefs to be changed. We have nothing to offer the world of lost people if we compromise our beliefs. But our scripture reading for today tells us that there's someone who is able to keep us from falling and present us before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy. And that someone, of course, is God, our Heavenly Father. He is the one who is able to keep us from falling. In Psalm 121, the psalmist asks us the question, where does my help come from? Where does your help come from? Where does our help come from as Christians? And he goes on to answer his question by saying, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Our Heavenly Father. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. The Lord will keep you from all harm. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and evermore. Now that talks about a continuous, complete care that God exercises over us as His people. He watches over us. The Lord will keep us, writes the psalmist. The Lord will keep us. I think about the Lord holding us in His hands. His hands that can protect us. His hands that can lift us up. His hands that can keep us from falling. How strong they are. How willing He is to help us. If we look to Him, look to the Lord, trust in Him, let Him lead us and guide us on a daily basis, then we will find that He is able to keep us. Living in this world is like walking in a minefield. There's dangers all around. And we all need help to navigate safely through that minefield or those dangers that we face. If we make a misstep, we could get into trouble. I believe that the Lord is willing and able to help us. But He does not force it upon us. God helps those, not who help themselves, but God helps those who call upon Him for help, who look to Him for help, who seek Him, who desire His help, and who are willing to receive it in the way that He wants to give it. One of the ways He does that is by showing us certain pitfalls so that we can avoid them. You know, the Holy Spirit comes into our life, and one of the ministries or one of the ways, one of the tasks, one of the jobs that the Holy Spirit has in our life is to show us the way to go, to show us which way to walk and which way not to walk. We're not to walk in some ways, you know. Sometimes we can avoid problems, we can avoid troubles, we can avoid difficulties if we just don't walk in those ways, for those places, go to those places. In order to prove that we are strong, sometimes we do things that are foolish. And that is not necessary at all. Sometimes it's just better to go around the mountain than it is to try to walk or to climb over it. Remember the incident I just told you about when I fell off the house? What I didn't tell you was that right before I started up that ladder, I heard the words, "Better not do that." But I didn't heed the words. I went ahead and did it anyway. And you can see what happened. I believe that God speaks to us. I believe the Holy Spirit speaks to us. I believe He wants to help us avoid certain pitfalls, certain consequences of our choices and action. He wants to help us go around things instead of trying to plow our way through sometimes. He wants to help us find the best way that we can go. But we have to heed those ways. We have to listen to Him. We have to walk with Him. You know, we heard talk of an early warning system. And we have that as Christians. We have an early warning system down within us, and He's called Holy Spirit. And He warns us at times about trouble and about how we can avoid it. And if we just listen, if we heed the warnings, it will save us a lot of trouble. I don't know what you think about it, but I also believe in guardian angels. The psalmist wrote, "He will give His angels charge over you." I remember hearing a song about He'll give His angels charge over you. And it's a wonderful thing to think about. I believe we all have at least one angel who is in charge of our lives, who takes care of us, who watches over us, who keeps us. If we have evil spirits and demons lurking around trying to lead us astray, then surely we have angels who are also around to protect us. One more thing. When we have the Lord as our Savior, when we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we believe that He is with us to watch over us. We believe that He is our shepherd. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." And the good shepherd watches over His sheep. And He watches over us if we allow Him to, if we give Him that opportunity to be in our lives and to watch over us. He protects us. He provides for us. And He keeps us safe and secure. But we must ask Him to do that. We must let Him be our shepherd. We must follow the shepherd day by day. So let's go back to the benediction one more time. And I ask you again, as I have for each one, for you to take this personally. To Him who is able to keep you from falling, to present you before His glorious presence without fault, and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, authority, through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and evermore. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much that we have this safety net. As Your people, Father, You do watch over us. You do keep us safe. You do help us in our times of need. Father, help us to trust You with our lives. Sometimes we just want to live our lives on our own, But we know that's usually when we get into trouble. So help us just to put our lives in your hands today and to trust you each and every day for you to lead us and guide us. And we thank you for our good shepherd, Jesus, who also leads us and guides us, and by the Holy Spirit, who shows us the way to go. So, Father, just help us to be willing to follow in the way you want us to go. And we know you'll keep us safe and secure each and every day. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.